Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
And welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and for now, we've finished up talking about food. For the remainder of the season, I've got some really interesting guests on. It's all about jobs that animals do for people and jobs that people do for animals. Today, I'm speaking with Christopher Hines of APOPO, one of the most amazing organizations I've ever heard about. When I first discovered them, I knew I had to share their story with all of you. Today is all about hero rats. Yep, you heard me right. APOPO trains rats to save lives. If you're afraid of rats, you won't be after listening. These guys are amazing. APOPO is a social enterprise that researches, develops, and implements detection rat technology for humanitarian purposes, such as finding landmines and detecting tuberculosis. With roots in Belgium and headquarters in Tanzania, APOPO also maintains operations in Mozambique, Angola, Cambodia, Vietnam, and Laos. Needless to say, I can't wait to get this interview started, so please welcome Chris Hines, Development Manager for APOPO, who's calling us all the way from Paris. Hey, Chris, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my God. Thank you for staying up late and being willing to talk to us. How are you?
Excellent. It's my pleasure to be on. I really appreciate it, and I'm very much looking forward to chatting with you and letting all your great viewers know about the work that we do.
Yeah, I mean, I've been waiting months to talk to you guys. I've been so excited about this all day. I've just been totally freaking out. So I want to get started and share all the information that we've got about you guys. And so let's start with the first obvious basic question. How was APOPO inspired and who thought this up?
Yeah, good question. So as you mentioned in your great intro of APOPO, thank you so much for that. We are a Belgian organization that started in about 1997, but it really was inspired in about the 70s, possibly even 60s, when our founder, Bart Weitjens, he collected gerbils and rodents and all sorts of small animals as pets growing up in Belgium.
Oh, cool.
And as such, he would carry them anywhere he goes, to the supermarket or to the store or whatever. And he noticed small differences when he would wear deodorant, when he would not wear deodorant.
Hmm.
And so that's when actually he kind of noticed some of the rodents were slightly irritated when he would wear deodorant. And so he got the idea to actually what if these rodents were able to, smell something or detect something? And so he finally put this together with his research that he did about 20 years later in the mid-90s with landmine detection and how it was a very slow and expensive operation. And he then thought back to his childhood years, okay, let's try and put these two and two together. So luckily he did, and APOPO came out of that, and he tried to work with rats to detect the scent of TNT, which is contained in most types of anti-personnel landmines.
I love him already. I mean, I love that story. And I'm like your biggest, it's the worst, I'm like your groupie at this point. I've researched you guys for so long. I'm just like, go, APOPO! I mean, I should have like...
We're so excited that you're excited as well.
Oh my God, I should have like pom-poms in here right now. I'm like shaking. I'm so thrilled to be talking to you guys.
That's excellent.
All right, so I would love it if you could give us some information about the landmine situation in the areas that your APOPO is in.
Great. So right now we have operations, our primary operations are in Mozambique, and I'll go into a little bit about that first. Mozambique had about a 17-year civil war,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of a proxy war of the Cold War with the superpowers not directly fighting each other, of course, but we're both backing, different sides mm-hmm. of fighting in Mozambique. And as such, landmines were heavily used within Mozambique throughout those 17 years.
Wow.
To guard infrastructure posts, but also to create havoc on the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really terrible weapons of, or explosive remnants of war. So they are used strategically both to guard power lines, railroads, and as a defense mechanism for enemy soldiers. So
wow.
They're used quite heavily in Mozambique. But luckily for Mozambique, they are actually the first heavily mined country that should be mine-free by the end of this year or maybe even next year.
That's fantastic.
So this is a really amazing accomplishment that APOPO, along with several other mine action operators, have accomplished together. So there's been other countries that have been declared mine-free, but Mozambique will be the most significant one to date.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool. Really cool time to work in Mozambique. And similarly, in Angola, after the independence from Portugal,
mm-hmm.
with Mozambique and Angola were under Portuguese rule at one time. After the declared independence, then they also had a civil war, which was actually a bit longer, I think, about 25 years or so. And as such, they have quite a lot of landmines at that particular time because they were used in strategically the same type of fashion.
Wow.
So we're just starting to get going in Angola, but we've been operating and clearing landmines in Mozambique for about 10 years now.
Wow. Wow. I love it.
Yeah.
And okay, yeah. So what kind of rats do you use?
So they are called giant African pouch rats. The scientific name is Crocidomys gambianus.
And so these are not the normal rats that we see running through, like, American cities or in the subway system or things like that.
They're actually bigger than that, so if you can believe it or not. But ours can cover a lot more ground than the typical city rat, but they're also a lot cuter. So they have nice big whiskers, a beautiful face, very large cheeks that they can stuff a lot of food into. And they're just beautiful animals, long tails.
They are. They're really cute.
We take a lot of nice pictures trying to present them as beautiful animals because they really are doing a great deed for the world. And we try and present that image because a lot of people have a negative view of rodents in particular. So we want to try and change that, although it's going to take quite some time.
Well, I think you're doing it the right way. And I got to say, the APOPO rats are really cute. I definitely am not the biggest fan of rats, especially the big scary ones that are in subways and things like that. But the APOPO rats are cool. They're really big. They kind of remind me almost of like if a big guinea pig and a giant rat had a baby. That's kind of the size of it, you know? But they're really, really cute. And so do you guys use the same breed of rats everywhere?
We do, yes. So we actually breed them, train them, and socialize them within our Tanzania training center. And we do all of our research and training in Tanzania, and then we send them to Mozambique and to Angola, and we are soon preparing them to go to Cambodia as well.
Awesome. And how long does it take to train these guys?
So it's a 9-month process to train them.
Wow.
And they go through a very systematic level of training, which starts from birth. They get weaned from their mothers, and then they go through a very intense period of socialization, which is quite a fun process because then we can take them on rides on our trucks. We can interact. We have a lot of interaction between the rodents and the humans, so mm-hmm. it's very important that the rodents come into contact with a lot of different humans at that time to really become accommodating to the human scent and the human touch. So we play music for them, we honk the horn for them, we take them on rides, we try to get them used to all types of environments, which will really help later on,
mm-hmm.
make sure that they're very calm, collected, and they can do their job very easily without too many distractions.
And, like, what's the lifespan on these guys?
So they live about 6 to 8 years.
Wow.
So after the 9 months, yeah, they have a very good, I mean, I hate to break it down to a return on investment, but that's exactly what it is. We put a good deal of time and effort into training them, and they give us back 5 to 7 years after the training process to really do amazing work.
And is this breed of rat smarter than, you know, your average rat?
That is a good question. We haven't actually tested them with other rats. We tested a different species of rat in Belgium,
mm-hmm.
but because this particular rat is so big and smells so well and is also so prevalent within the Tanzania,
mm-hmm.
that we figured it would be a perfect rat to be able to use. Their sense of sight isn't very good,
mm-hmm.
but they are very highly adaptable. They don't contract many diseases, so they're really perfect to what we hope to do.
That sounds great.
So, but in terms of if they're smarter than other rats, we're not exactly sure. We just know they can smell very well.
Yeah, well, they're doing a good job, so you got the right ones for what you guys are doing. And then are these guys, like, working, or do they have names? Like, do you individualize them at all, or is it just kind of that rat's over there kind of thing?
Yeah, so we let our local staff in Tanzania, we employ about 70 Tanzanians, and they get to name the rats. So they have quite fun. So we have rats with all sorts of names.
Oh, cool.
Soccer is a very big sport there, so all the major soccer stars throughout the world have rats named after them, along with politicians from most countries and celebrities. Shakira is one of them,
awesome.
You know, Messi and Obama.
So
there's
love
a whole
it.
Bunch of fun rat names. So if you ever come, or if any of your guests come to Tanzania, you're welcome. All their pages are labeled with their names on them, and it's quite fun to go see.
Careful what you say, Chris, because I'll be on the next flight over there. I mean, I'm telling you,
absolutely.
I'm really like, you know, going to start.
Absolutely. We do give tours of our training center in Tanzania, so if anyone wants to come visit, you're more than welcome.
Oh, cool. And then do they, when you're working with a hero rat, does each rat have its own handler? Do they form bonds with certain people?
And that's a nice thing about the rats, actually. They don't form solid bonds as dogs do with individuals.
Oh, cool.
So we can train them and socialize them with one particular handler and then give them off to another handler at a certain stage, and then we send them to Mozambique to work with another handler. So they're very easily transferable between people, which makes them another high benefit over dogs or any other detection animal.
Yeah, seriously, because I mean, if you're working with dogs on this kind of detection, and if once the handler separates, if they've been working for a long time, it can cause a lot of problems for adjustment for the animals. So it's great that you guys don't have to worry about that kind of thing.
Exactly. And yeah, we're very fortunate that doesn't actually happen. But it's also how much you can actually socialize the animal very early stage. So as long as they interact with enough different types of people and different humans and different elements and environments, then that really helps the process later on as well.
Cool. Well, Chris, we've got to take a break at the moment, so we're going to take a break for about a minute, and we're going to be coming back and talking about what else these rats do. So hang on for 60 seconds, and we'll be continuing this conversation.
Today's music is by Peels on heritageradionetwork.org.
USA is proud to announce our Heritage Rare Breed Chicken Rotation. We've partnered with Frank Reese, the country's preeminent poultry farmer, to create an alternative market for non-industry bred chicken and show our customers what real chicken tastes like. Frank's chickens look and taste different from commodity poultry. They have not been genetically manipulated or pumped with antibiotics to increase their growth rate. Frank breeds and hatches his own birds so he can guarantee the finest animal welfare from start to finish. Every 3 months, Heritage Foods USA will offer a new, rare breed of chicken on our website and at the Heritage Meat Shop. Our inaugural variety is the Colombian Wyandotte. These birds are good for frying and are sought after for their fine texture, taste, and healthy lipid fine yellow fat. Heritage Foods USA is the only place you can taste these special heritage birds. Order today at heritagefoodsusa.com.
And we are back talking to Christopher Hines of Apopo, the amazing, amazing hero rats. And so, Chris, I want to talk about mine action now. What does that mean exactly?
So mine action is encompassing all landmine detection. And for Apopo, what it means specifically is that we have three separate systems of mine action that incorporates all into our landmine detection program. One of them is the Hero Rat.
Mm-hmm.
And we use the Hero Rat in conjunction with more traditional mine action technologies such as mechanical and manual deminers. And depending on the specific situation of the landmine field or the environment that we're working in, we can really utilize any three of those techniques to make sure that our mine action is the most efficient and reliable source that's out there. So, and as we've demonstrated in the past, we actually come in about 60% lower than what the international standards are for clearing 1 square meter of land.
Wow.
In terms of a price-cost benefit. So we've demonstrated the model, and it's worked quite well. We've cleared about 8.6 million square meters in Mozambique and have handed over the most heavily mined province in Mozambique back to the local community
Wow.
1 year before the deadline. So, so far, so good, I guess.
That's, are you kidding? Before a deadline? That's incredible. And how
yeah.
many mines do you think were destroyed in that area?
So within Mozambique, we've destroyed about over 3,000 landmines to date. And that has been over the last primarily 5 to 6 years, and then there are a few before then as well. But that doesn't include even the unexploded ordnance and small arms and ammunition, which measure into the tens of thousands that we've destroyed as well.
Wow. Wow, you guys should be so proud of yourselves. I'm really, like, I'm speechless. It's like, I just want to sit back and listen to this interview.
I'm just speaking. The real heroes are the rats, and also the people doing the work on the ground. There are a lot of brave men and women that are working with the rats, but also in the live mine fields that do the work every day. And I just salute them, you know, as they go about their job, because it's dangerous,
yeah,
but it's definitely rewarding as they get to explode the landmines and then release the land back to the communities, which is the most satisfying, so that these people can have clear access to water.
So cool.
They can use the land for agriculture,
yeah,
or building hospitals or building schools or, you know, whatever is most deemed necessary within that community. So that's what's really amazing, I think.
Even the ability to just be allowed to walk across a field now and not fear of being
exactly
killed, or, you know, having your child get killed, or, you know, maimed.
Absolutely.
Or
just a peace of mind having the area around your house or the area around your community free of landmines, and knowing that, yeah, you can go play soccer on the field next to your house is quite an incredible accomplishment.
It really is. And I mean, you know, in this country, we've been fortunate not to have to deal with this problem. And so I don't think that many people really understand how intense this would be to be, you know, if you're living in an area with a landmine field. You know, they know that people figure out by trial and error where they can walk and where the paths are, but they're not going to start getting brave and expanding the off the paths out of fear of being killed. So, I mean, this is the thought that you are giving these people back their freedom and their ability to actually become mobile again and to do what they would like to do is just, I have no words for it. I think it's just brilliant. So thank
That's
you, guys.
Great.
Now, how does this work exactly? Do you just set the rats free in the landmine area, or how? What happens here?
No, that's one thing we definitely need to make clear, is that these are not kamikaze rats.
Okay.
The rats are too light to set off the landmines, and so we've never lost a rat in action. Each landmine needs at least 5 kilograms to set off a landmine, and our rats are only about 1 kilogram. So
wow.
It varies depending on the landmine, but there's no threat of that happening.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of how that works, we use a very systematic approach of having 2 people standing on each side of the rat, which mm-hmm. is about 15 feet apart from one another.
Mm-hmm.
And we attach a little harness to the rat, and then the rat runs across from person to person, sniffing the ground in the meantime. And once they make one pass, then each person steps over about 1/2 foot, and that continues all the way down throughout the whole landmine field to make sure the whole area is very well covered and very well cleared. Then when a rat actually detects a trace of TNT
mm-hmm.
that is within a landmine, he or she starts scratching the ground quite vigorously to indicate to the human where the actual landmine is.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, the human will mark the ground where the rat has scratched and move on and continue searching other ground. The supervisor will then come over and start very carefully digging around that particular area where the rat has scratched
mm-hmm.
to determine if a landmine is actually there. Because the rats, they aren't 100% accurate, as in they find all the landmines,
mm-hmm.
but they also find other pieces of material, other scrap metal that may have been contaminated with TNT.
Oh, okay.
So sometimes they find a landmine, the supervisors, sometimes they find a landmine when they're digging around.
Yep.
Other times it might just be a piece of scrap metal or a piece of unexploded ordnance or even a bullet. It could be pretty much anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so just to finish that thought, once a landmine is found, then the supervisor comes in, digs around it, and places a manual detonator to destroy the landmine on the spot.
Wow. Wow. And the rats get a treat for this and keep going.
Absolutely. They get a lot of treats. They are trained with positive reinforcement, so we train them using banana and nuts and small fish, and then also nutritional supplement pellets that we import from Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
So they're well taken care of, Hero Rats. Animal welfare is a big priority for us.
Nice.
And we want to make sure that the Hero Rats are treated well because they do amazing work. In fact, every Friday, we give them a huge feast of avocado and carrots and tomatoes and all their favorite foods.
Yum.
For the weekend, because they've had a long week, so they need a break on the weekend. And they just have a huge feast.
That's awesome.
And it's really quite funny because they're called pouch rats because they can store so much in their cheeks.
Oh, no.
That their heads probably expand to two or three times the size of what it actually is. So we really enjoy going in there on a Friday after they've been fed and seeing these massive pouched cheeks just staring at us.
Oh, my God, I love it. This is so cute. I can't stand it. And so do the rats specialize in either tuberculosis or mine action, or are they able to do both?
We have not tested if they've been able to do both yet, so we make sure they are specialized. So depending on the needs of each program,
mm-hmm.
after the socialization stage of training, we then determine if they're going to be a tuberculosis rat or a mine detection rat and make sure there's no mixing of the two after that, because you know, while we would like to say that we could, you know, train them on multiple different scents at one time, we're not ready for that particular step yet. Hopefully in the future.
Well, and if they're doing one job right, then that's better than most people out there, so hey.
Absolutely. We also have research stages that we are currently in with some other types of projects. but those are quite small at this particular stage. So our main two are TB, tuberculosis, and mine action.
Well, I'd like to talk a bit about TB and what the rats do helping that. So let's start with, can you tell us a little bit about tuberculosis?
Yep, sure. So TB is the second leading cause of death from an infectious disease worldwide after HIV.
Wow.
There are about 8.5 million new cases every year, and 1.3 million people died from TB in 2012. So that just goes to show how serious of a disease this is. And I know in the U.S. it's a very minimal disease, but it still occurs, especially from people coming from abroad and within the prison system and some other more specified areas.
Mm-hmm.
In Tanzania, about half of all patients that have TB are undiagnosed, which is a huge problem, because then if these patients are not treated, one person with active TB can spread that particular disease to 10 to 15 other people each year.
Wow.
So it can really grow very quickly if this is not treated. The current diagnostic technologies are insufficient in terms of they're slow, they're not so accurate, and the ones that are accurate are much too expensive for the developing countries. So that's where we come in, and that we can provide this quick and simple and inexpensive diagnostic technology that is geared toward developing countries.
Wow. And so then what's the procedure for finding TB with one of the hero rats? Do you take them into hospitals, or how does this work?
Yeah, we have not experimented with taking them into hospitals yet, mainly because we think that if patients were able to come in contact with the rats, there would probably be a lot of people opting out of that particular procedure.
Fair enough.
So we have 21 partnerships with hospitals in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, where we just collect sputum samples from.
Really?
So TB is typically tested after patients give a sputum sample.
Okay.
And then the hospitals run it through a microscope to see if the person has the disease. So after it's run through the microscope, we get the sputum samples from the hospital, as well as what the hospital says the results are.
Mm-hmm.
And with current microscopy rates in hospitals, the accuracy is only about 50 to 60% in Tanzania, which is extremely low, of course. So the rats can come in then and do a second-line screen of those patients. And just last year, we found over 1,800 additional patients that the hospitals missed that have active TB.
Wow.
So that is quite a lot of people, and that is just a fraction, possibly, of what we can do, because there are about 62 hospitals in Dar es Salaam.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a big problem, and we're trying our best to do as much as we can, and we've replicated this model in Maputo, Mozambique, and we're looking for other operational partners as well in high-prevalence areas.
So can the rats detect it in a person with active TB, or can they detect it with patients that have the bacteria dormant as well?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and we have not actually experimented with latent TB or dormant TB to see if the rats can detect that. Our gut feeling is they might be able to, but the symptoms are so much stronger if the active TB is there that, it's really difficult to be able to try and test or to try and run an experiment on dormant TB.
Yeah.
So even though 1/3 of the world's population has dormant TB, we're not ready to be able to go after that.
Fair enough.
Subset yet. So hopefully in the future, though.
And so I'm assuming that that rats cannot catch TB?
We have never had a rat catch TB, but actually we inactivate the samples before they are presented to the rats. So we receive them from the hospitals in Dar es Salaam, and then we heat inactivate them to make sure they're safe both from our rats and for our humans.
Yeah.
So both of them, will not catch TB.
I'm gobsmacked at how many cases of TB there are. I had no idea that it was such a prevalent disease. So
yeah.
It's and I love the fact that the rats are more accurate than, I hate it that they're more accurate than some of the hospital employees, but I love that you guys have a backup system to double check and really make sure, because it's, you know, to exacerbate the problem, you got to catch it all. So,
right.
Very,
exactly.
Very cool.
And yeah, just the throughput is significant as well. So a lab technician can process about 40 samples per day, and the same sample size will take a trained rat less than 7 minutes to process.
Wow.
So even though we send a couple rats over each sample, I mean, the time comparison is not really even close.
Seriously, I mean, it's nothing. And so what do the rats do when they discover TB on a slide?
That is slightly different in that they're in a cage.
Mm-hmm.
So we line up 10 samples in a row, and we put a hole over the particular sample. And then the rats run up and down this cage, and when they smell TB, they'll just keep their nose in the hole for 3 to 5 seconds or however long they're trained on.
Mm-hmm.
And once the rat keeps their nose in the hole for at least 3 seconds, then we know that they are smelling TB, and we can double-check that.
Amazing. So how many hero rats are currently working?
So in all, we have about 300 hero rats.
Wow.
Both in Tanzania, Mozambique, Angola, and will soon be sent to Cambodia. The majority, I think we have about 100 in Mozambique, maybe 115 if you include TB and mine action there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're currently breeding and training quite a few more in Tanzania, so that number will hopefully increase soon, especially as our operations start to get bigger and more countries are demanding the rats, which is good news for us.
That's fantastic.
So we hope the momentum continues.
And so what is a Popo's goal?
Popo's goal is a world free of landmines, for sure.
Mm.
But we cannot really intervene in countries that have active conflict.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really in our way of working, because it's more of a humanitarian post-conflict way of resolving mine action. So it's going to be, there are estimates that it'll take another 100 years to clear all the landmines in the world, but they're not going anywhere, and
yeah.
We have developed a system that's quicker and more efficient than most other mine action technologies, at least in our minds, all other mine action technologies. And we hope to make a significant spread or curb in the spread of tuberculosis as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we know eventually, or we hope eventually, that a quick and accurate and cheap diagnostic technology, if not a cure, will come out for TB.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, we need to do our best to make sure we fight it as much as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, and you guys are doing a great job. I mean, it's so funny with the landmines, you know, because it's something, like I said, you know, we're just not familiar with them in this country. And so it's the thought of them just being everywhere. And what really freaks me out is the fact that, you know, this thing can be 50 years old and somebody steps on it and it still blows up. It's like they
Absolutely.
Don't ever die, you know. That's the part
Absolutely.
That scares the hell out of me, frankly.
Exactly. And also our third strategic goal, in addition to mine action and tuberculosis detection, is to explore what else these amazing creatures can do.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done some small pilot projects on salmonella detection and search and rescue techniques.
Cool.
But we want to see, we've developed this, you know, innovative training methodology, and we want to be able to see how what other kind of applications we can use this for.
Yeah.
So we're exploring a bit in that particular area. Nothing too concrete yet, but we hope to in the long term develop other applications of our scent detection technology.
Mm-hmm. And so I want to take the rest of the time to talk about the Hero Rat Adoption Program. I think this is the greatest thing in the world. This is the perfect gift to give anyone who has everything. You know those people. You know, the one where you're like, not another book, not another scarf. You can get someone a Hero Rat. How cool is that? I want 50 of these things. So,
oh, thank you.
Tell us about how we can get a hero rat. What does that mean?
Thank you so much for your enthusiasm there. That's extremely exciting. So just we've had a Hero Red adoption for about 5 years now, but just this last December we adopted a new or launched a new online platform called mayapopo.org, where you can go on, adopt a Hero Rat. It's a kind of a symbolic adoption, so we can't match every adoption with one rat. So it's a shared Hero Rat adoption,
mm-hmm.
but it mirrors all of our best rats to make sure that you receive all of the updates throughout the training process, the socialization process, on what your particular rat is going through at that time,
mm-hmm.
and what he or she is seeing, what he or she is experiencing. Then you can choose if your rat goes into a TB or a mine action program.
Cool.
You can name your rat. You get an adoption certificate. It's a really fun and interactive way to understand both what Apopo is working on how the hero rats are trained, in addition to a lot of information about mine action and tuberculosis, the problems, the beneficiaries that we serve, and other fun information that we're working on. So we have little badges. We have little avatars that you can receive over time.
Yay!
And eventually, after the training process, then you can actually see the impact of your work. So you can see how many landmines a rat clears, how many TB patients your rat has found, and, you know, basically which equals lives saved in the long run.
That's awesome.
Which is, we think, a pretty cool product. And so far, we've seen a lot of good results from the actual the platform that we've launched. And, we invite all of your listeners to go online and check it out as well.
And I just want to clarify that this does not mean that if you adopt a hero rat that you're going to get a package in the mail with a giant hero rat as your new best friend.
Right. We don't do any mail campaigns, and this is not an actual rat that you're buying for yourself that will just show up at your door in a live hero rat.
Surprise!
So it's good to make that very clear, for sure. Maybe someday we'll get to that point, but we hope not.
Yeah, well, that would be a little intense. You know, I'd be like, what's this scratching package? I don't know. Oh, yeah. Yay, it's a hero right. rat. As long as you have them in, like, a cape and, like, some really cool outfit, I think it could be really successful. But, you know, that's future stuff.
I love it.
Stuff.
We are thinking about next steps for this. You know, do we dress our rat up? Do we put a cape on it? What do we do?
Oh, my God. You need a logo and you need a cape and you need some, like, really, like, badass face thing, some kind of face mask over the eyes so they can still be incognito, you know?
I love it.
I can help you with that at any time. I'd be glad to help you design a costume for the rats.
That's fantastic.
So how much does it cost for someone to adopt one if they want to do that?
So it's only $7 a month. It's pretty nominal. Of course, we invite more if you would like to pay more. You're most welcome to. this is $7 a month, and then you can also pay once a year if you would prefer.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have, you know, if you don't want to receive these kind of stories every 2 weeks, if that's a little bit too much for you,
mm-hmm.
then you can shape your email interest either to monthly or quarterly or every 2 weeks as you prefer.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, we also, you will be able to have access to this mayapopo.org platform if you just provide a one-time donation as well, in which you receive program updates and some your rat news throughout the year as well. So there are a few different options for those that might be interested.
So basically for $84 a year, you can help save lives in Mozambique and all over the world and get some really great information about these rats. I mean, for $84, you can really, really help to make an incredible difference in a lot of people's lives. So I think this is great, too. You know, the price is right. And it's I'm shocked, actually, at how inexpensive it is for you guys to be able to do this. So
yeah.
Super cool.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. And, you know, $84, that's about the equivalent of preventing one TB infection per year.
Wow.
So you remember I mentioned that every active TB case can spread to 10 to 15 others.
Mm-hmm.
So every one annual adoption on our platform they receive can prevent one TB infection per year, which is a pretty powerful statement, we think.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's really, wow. And so if someone is, let's say someone is rat squeamish, but they still want to help out your organization, do they have to adopt a rat or can they just donate?
Absolutely. You can just donate. You don't have to hear another word from us if you don't want. We welcome donations on our website or through any of our tax-effective partners as well, that you can have a nice tax receipt and everything like that. So you're more than welcome. If you want a lot of Hero Rat news, that's excellent. We'll send you as much as you want.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't want anything, then you're most welcome to just donate and then say, that's it, fantastic. But if you do know anyone in your family or your friends or your colleagues or bosses or anything that would love a rat, we also offer a gift adoption. And you can go online, gift adopt a rat to your friends or anybody you wish for Christmas, for birthdays, or whatever. We think it makes a really interesting gift. And even the New York Times a few years ago proclaimed that instead of giving your dad another tie for Father's Day, why don't you adopt a rat on his behalf? And that was extremely successful for us, and we really appreciated that. So,
yeah, that's
lots
great.
Of unique ideas that you can give.
And it's absolutely true. I mean, I have a father who has everything that he wants. He's 83, and he's very happy. There's nothing this man could possibly need. So at Christmas and birthdays, it's absolute torture to try to find him something new. So I think my dad's going to be getting a Hero Rat sometime soon, probably September for his birthday. And he'll be thrilled. You know, this is the kind of gift that it sounds a little unusual, but when you really think about it, and after going to the site and stuff, it's really, really amazing. And it's a very simple way to help an organization really make a major change on this planet and for tons and tons and tons of people. I mean, I'm still stuck on the 8 million square meters of land. I'm still, like, back in there, you know, especially when you're moving every 6 inches over and over and over in order to do this. Like, the amount of tedium that's involved with this and the amount of time, and you guys are really making enormous, enormous changes. And
thanks so much. That means a lot to hear you say that, and we really appreciate all of your kind words, and we're going to keep doing it as much as we can and for as long as we can and to make as much impact in this world as we can, and we feel like we're saving lives, and we're going to continue to work until no more lives need to be saved. So I think we'll have jobs for quite a while, at least for now. So.
Yeah, definitely. And please thank everyone at Apopo, because seriously, like I said, I've been looking forward to this interview for months, and I'm so thrilled to have been able to talk about you guys and share it with my listeners and with Heritage Radio's listeners. Like I said, this is a really, really important thing, and it's super, super cool. And I love that you guys use rats, and I love that you've created this. The entire thing is great. The story's great. It's all just absolutely fabulous. And so now, how do we find you?
Good question. So we do have a website, apopo.org. That's APOPO.org. From there, you can see the very large support us button if you want to adopt a rat. We're also very highly visible on Facebook and Twitter. You're more than welcome to like us or follow us on one of those sites. We also have YouTube and LinkedIn channels as well. So I'd suggest going to the apopo.org main page, and from there you can connect with us through social media as well. And we'd love to hear and keep in touch with any of your listeners as well, and look forward to chatting more in the future, because we absolutely love your show, Celia, and
we've
had a great time talking with you, and hopefully we'll be able to do it again as well.
I would love that, and I'm telling you, man, I'm going to track you guys down. I really want to see this organization in action.
So.
And definitely want to have you guys back on again, too, in the future. If you guys want to see pictures of the Apopo rats, they're on apopo.org. If you go to Twitter and if you go to Facebook, they're really, really cute. I'm definitely a little rat squeamish, but they're really, really cute. So don't be intimidated at the thought of, ooh, scary rats. These aren't. These are hero rats. These rats are superheroes, and we're going to make outfits for them, and they're going to be awesome. So, Chris, I'm so sorry, but we're out of time. But thank you, thank you, thank you. So sincerely, from my heart, thank you guys for doing what you're doing. Thank you for changing the world. Good luck on your travels and everything that's going on. And like I said, I want to talk to you guys again in the future. So I'm Celia Kutcher. I'm the Food Healer. You can find me at foodhealer.com. If you have any questions, you can email me as well. And like I said, we're here with Popo, Chris Hines. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I hope you have a great week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.